Friday, and welcome to the Beauty Files. I am Juanita. I'm so glad you can join us today. Happy Friday. It's a little weather thing going on over where I am. I'm sure where Doug is in California, it's sunny and 70-something degrees. We're in the East Coast, so it's a little cold, a little rainy. Expecting a whole bunch of stuff going on, but we are going to give you the beauty goods today on our show. We have a wonderful show in store for you. First, we're going to be joined by Kylie Russell. She is the CEO and founder of Big Girl Cosmetics, and it's a cosmetic company that incorporates a healthier mineral-based ingredients, and it's paraben-free. And a lot of you may not even know what that means, but we're going to have her tell us what it is. And it's so funny because earlier today I was on a radio show and I was talking about the 10 toxic things that are in cosmetics that you should avoid. And one of them was paraben. So we're going to get the information about that as well. Later today, or later in the show, I should say, we're going to be talking to Nessa. Nessa is in charge or owner of Gone Greens. It's a company that uses, now get this, collard greens in other ways except for putting pork in it. I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there because you know who I'm talking to. We can do other things with collard greens besides using pork. She's going to show us and tell us about her cookbook and all the other good things that she is doing with collard greens. I tried it. It's delicious, and I never knew you could do stuff like this with collard greens. And then also later in the show, we're going to be joined by BJ. She's the owner of Hot Wings on the Run Gourmet Sauces. Oh, finger licking good. I am such a pig. I love food so much, and I love sauces. And when a sauce drips down on your chest and you get it off the chest, that means it's good because you don't want to miss any of the sauce. You're licking. You're doing all kinds of stuff. So BJ's going to tell us. I digress. BJ's going to tell us about her Hot Wings on the Run gourmet sauces, and also what she is doing. She is on a serious mission to help our young people become more entrepreneurial and give them job training, on the job training, and showing them how they could benefit from being an entrepreneur like herself. So she has a wonderful story. We're going to talk to her about that. But we're going to be joined now by Kylie. Kylie, welcome to the Beauty Files. How are you today, dear?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I love the name Big Girl Cosmetics. Now, before I go, what is the big girl part? Is it? Is it big girl as in age, big girl as in fat, big girl as in I'm a big girl now, mama? I mean, which one is it?
Well, big girl is not a size. It's a state of mind. So think big, live big. We're all about empowering women to create their own definition of beauty. A lot of times it's created for us out there in the media and society. And, we encourage women to create their own definition.
Now, I love your story, Kylie. I was reading her bio, and one of the things is that Kylie was in the audience of the Oprah Winfrey Show. And she's also a makeup artist as well. So kudos to you for another makeup artist that's fabulous. But Kylie was in the audience during the Oprah Winfrey Show when they were giving out the Pontiac G6. And she sold her car to use the profits to start her company, which I thought was fantastic. Because, you know, we could have used, you know, you could have used the car and just said, okay, I'll just use the car. But you instead used that money to start Big Girl Cosmetics.
Right. It was funny. After leaving the show, Oprah said on the show, she said something that really stuck with me. She said, we're not just improving the way people, we're not just giving away cars, we're improving the way people live their lives. And that just kind of stuck with me. And at the time, I've recently been diagnosed with lupus. And decided that I needed to take hold of my health, my life, and live life a little bit differently. And so that's what I did. I came home and I told my husband, I said, you know, I'm going to sell this car. And he couldn't get over the fact that I want a car, first of all. And then the fact that I owned a car free and clear and was going to sell it. So he got over it. And here we are 8 years later.
Wow. Now, tell us about Big Girl Cosmetics. What are some of the stuff that you have? Because I'm looking on your website, and I love the shadows. I love the colors that you've chosen. How did you get started doing Big Girl Cosmetics? How did you come up with the idea, and how do you get your colors and choice your color choices?
Well, as an African American woman, it's difficult to find colors and shades. You know, a lot of times you go to the counter and they'll give you 2, sometimes 3 foundations just to look like yourself, which is ludicrous. You know, you
yeah.
should be able to just go in and buy one product that works for you, and that's that. On top of the fact that some of the eyeshadows, they weren't as highly pigmented. So they would pass a white paper test. So if you bought a navy blue eyeshadow, it would show up navy blue on the white paper, white sheet of paper. But when
right.
I would put it on my skin tone, of course, it would wash out or wouldn't last or wouldn't be the color or the intensity of that I wanted. So we decided to do things a little bit differently and create a mineral-based product that was highly pigmented so that it showed up on, you know, it showed well on all shades, with the lightest of the skin all the way to the darkest of the skin.
You know, you brought up a really good point, Kylie, and I have to go back and say, you know, we go to the cosmetic counters. I mean, it's changed a lot now. I will throw that out there, but not as much. But you go out to the cosmetic counter and you buy a foundation, and you have to get 3 different colors just to get one that looks good on you, that doesn't make you look, you know, like you. Well, whatever. So you're right. I was going to go there and I was going to say something. It's like, myself. But what comes to mind? Pasty face troll. No, let me say. But
you want to look like yourself. You want
exactly.
You want to have a natural look. You don't want to
exactly.
look like someone else. You don't want 2 shades lighter or 2 shades darker. You want to be yourself.
Right.
And that's what our goal is. And, you know, getting women to celebrate who they are and celebrate, you know, whatever complexion they are. And so that's why we call ourselves a polyethnic brand. So we don't just service African-American women, but we service Latino, Middle Eastern. We run the gamut. So we sell to everyone, of course, but in particular, we target women with undertones, yellow, olive, orange, mm-hmm. and red undertones. So, which are primarily the most underserved in the market.
Right. Now, you know, Kylie, I have to throw something at you. I find a lot of Caucasian women love or prefer cosmetics that are made for women of color.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. We do have a large group of women, Caucasian women, that do like our product, and
mm-hmm.
it's because it gives them a nice tan or bronze glow, and which is what they're looking for. So it's almost like a tan and a compact,
right.
You know, versus having to go to the tanning salon. And you know, everyone wants to look like their skin has been kissed from the sun. It just is what it is. We see that a lot as well at our counters.
Wow. And then, so tell us about what every woman should get as far as their face. We're going to start with, let me see how much time I got. Okay, yeah, I got enough time. We're going to start with the face. What are 2 ingredients that you would recommend that someone has to have in their makeup bag for their face?
So we always say the perfect face starts with the perfect base. So a great moisturizer or primer for your skin, depending on your skin type, if you have oily or normal to dry skin. So we always say start off with that, a good moisturizer and or primer. A good moisturizer can serve as your primer before you put on your foundation. A lot of women will say, oh, I don't wear foundation, I don't like it, it makes me look fake. But it's, you know, it's nothing wrong with foundation. It protects your skin from the outside elements that can be harmful to your skin, the outside debris and things like that. So you create a barrier. So at the very least, a moisturizer or primer and a foundation. That foundation can be a powder, it can be a liquid, whichever you prefer.
Did you find when you were making your cosmetic line that it was more challenging to get ingredients that were made for women of color?
Yeah, it's very challenging. It's very challenging. I shouldn't say the colors aren't challenging. What's challenging is to put together a mineral-based product that still provides the rich pigments that are needed for various skin tones. And so it's much cheaper to create. It's easier to create a cheaper product, an inferior product, by adding parabens and other synthetic chemicals and preservatives into the makeup to do that. But would I be satisfying the needs of my customers? No.
Right. Exactly. Do you find it necessary for people to include an eyeshadow primer?
Well, it depends. It depends. If you're doing a very bold, dramatic look, then you definitely should use a primer. Sometimes it helps, a lot if you do that, to increase the intensity of the shade, to use a primer, but it's not necessary.
Right.
Sometimes primer, eyeshadow primer, can extend the of your eyeshadow, the product that you're using, if it's not something that provides you extended wear. But it's not necessary. A lot of times I'll use a eyeshadow primer if it's for a photo or film or something like that. But for everyday wear, I don't always use a primer, eyeshadow primer.
Now, do you find it different? Do you find that there is a, for you, doing makeup for television versus doing makeup for every day? Do you find that you have to do more or prepare more, or can you kind of basically do the same process, especially with your cosmetic line? Because your cosmetic line, I love the colors. I'm just going through and looking at a lot of your shadows and your lipsticks and your foundations, and they're fabulous.
Thank you.
But,
Thank you.
I mean, the coloring, I mean, you have to go on. I throw this out here. BigGirlCosmetics.com. Kylie has some beautiful colors to choose from, and I encourage you to definitely go online to BigGirlCosmetics.com. But do you find it different? Like, because a lot of people will probably ask you, I don't want to look like they look on TV, because I saw someone look on television and they look crazy.
Right.
Are you insulted? First of all, are you insulted that someone even come to you and go, really? Okay. I'm
well,
in the business of making you look bad.
Right. Well, there's something called out. There's a lot of people that, just like the people are throwing around BB creams and HD makeup and things like that. Now that all of the television, networks and things are using HD, you can see every flaw, everything on
right.
the skin. Our products are HD ready. Our products are HD ready. That's what it does. So they are HD ready. I use them for camera and film, and they work wonderfully. For other women that are doing everyday makeup, or maybe they're just taking a few holiday pictures or what have you, they may want to steer away from items that have a flashback. So the glittery eyeshadows that have a little bit more sheen to them, or sparkle, if you will, because those will create a flashback, which is not camera friendly at all.
Oh, my God. I am so glad you threw that out there because, now that we're talking about makeup and your great product line, but then we're talking about glitter. OMG. People, everyone can't wear glitter. Everyone can't wear glitter. It's just, and people will throw that glitter on like it's just Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, people are feeling festive, and I think they feel the need to, sparkle it up a little bit. But let's, save it for your holiday tree or ornaments or things like that. Not, a certain age. It's appropriate for certain ages and not so appropriate for other ages. Now, there are ways to do it with that can be more attractive and more appealing. But just, slapping an emerald green eyeshadow on your lid is just, it's just not hot.
it really isn't hot, people. And what Kylie said, I mean, every tree, every Christmas tree doesn't have tinsel. You have to know the line to draw in the sand. And I was going to ask you, is there something or colors that you would suggest not to have? I mean, because nothing in her collection, women of color, you got to come and look at this site. All her stuff in here are really, I can't even say enough about them. But is there something or some colors that you would tell? I'll throw it since I am a sister, a black chick not to wear, because it really isn't not a color you shouldn't wear, but then there's a color that you shouldn't wear.
Yeah, you know, I really think it depends. As African, I'm an African American woman as well, and you know, we come in all different shapes and sizes and colors, and so there are some colors that some women can wear that maybe some others can't. You know, so one pet peeve that drives me nuts is the white eyeshadow liner that people put on the top of their lid. Sometimes you'll see, or it'll be a glitter liner. I don't know why I'm just stuck on glitter today, but I think earlier today I saw at least 3 or 4 cases of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, but I think we come in so many different shades. It just, you want to choose something that's appropriate for you. And if you aren't sure, try it on and take a picture, do a quick selfie and look at that picture, you know, and see what it looks like, because that's really what people are seeing. You know, your bathroom lighting may not be the best lighting,
right.
But maybe it looks good in the bathroom, and then you step into the living room or in your car, and you're like, wow, what was I doing? What was I thinking?
What was I drinking at 5 o'clock in the morning that I thought
this
looked fabulous?
Right. Don't have a drink before you do your makeup.
And you know, another tip, what would be the tip that you would give our audience as far as choosing a good foundation? What should they look for?
Well, I tell people, so a lot, most women have 2 or 3 tones, different shades on their face. And I always tell people, go with the mid-tone. So you don't want to go with the lightest shade on your face, and you don't want to go with the darkest shade. You want to go with the mid-tone. So for me, I live in Chicago, and so when winter comes, I feel like my skin just goes gray. I just lose all of that summer vibrance that my skin had.
God, yeah.
And you know, as is true, I'm sure for women on the East Coast as well. So for me, I choose a darker foundation. The same foundation that I wear for the summer is the same one that I wear for the winter, so that my skin can still have that nice summer, you know, summer glow.
Right.
And some women may do. Some women may do, you know, different shades at different times of the year.
Right.
So it just depends. But I really think that going with a mid-tone is the best option.
And before we let you go, what about gloss? You know, there is good gloss and there is chicken grease gloss. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yes. You know, and you know, for some people, that's what they like, and that's okay for them. But I think it's not an attractive look. You know, you want what it does. It looks on photos, and I always do makeup as if someone's going to be taking a photograph. And in this day and age of social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, and you know, and blogs and things like that, so you always have to put on your makeup as if someone is going to take your photograph. That's what I always tell women. So when you put on the gloss, the chicken grease gloss. It looks as if someone has cut your lips out and reattached them back. It just doesn't look well on camera. You don't want it to stand out like that. You know, you just don't. And so, you know, a little bit of gloss is fine. Just a little bit to give yourself a little shimmer, a little glisten. But it should not, you know, shine so brightly that, you know, you create an extra flash in the camera.
It's like those wax lips that you used to buy when you were young and you could chew on them because they were made out of. It's like the wax lips.
Yeah,
exactly. And if your girlfriend is not telling you that you're looking crazy with all that gloss, I will stop you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I may get hit. I may get slapped.
Yeah.
But I got to say, I'm seeing that a lot lately. I'm seeing the glitter and the lip gloss a lot. And I'm seeing it a lot on a lot of old girls, too, now. Not just the young girls, but a lot of old girls thinking that they can rock that.
Yeah, no, you want it in moderation. And even, you know, if you have a gloss that, you know, you can always put, and a lot of times with our clients, I'll put a lipstick on first and then a little bit of gloss on top. You know, and for some women, it's easier just to put on a gloss and they're putting it on and not looking in the mirror. Always check your makeup in the mirror just to make sure you know what you've gotten yourself into.
Gotten yourself into. I love that. Kylie Russell with Big Girl Cosmetics. I encourage you to go online and check Kylie's fantastic line of cosmetics. It's called biggirlcosmetics.com. And All I can say is I take Kylie's advice and make yourself up as though you were being filmed or taking or someone's taking your picture, because more than likely someone is taking your picture, whether you want them to take it, whether you're taking it, or whether you want them to take it or not. You know, someone's taking your picture. You call them selfies.
Exactly.
I love that, selfies. You know, I try to do that all the time, and it always looks like a hot mess. Every time I try to do that, the selfie, I look like I'm being paroled. It never comes out.
The camera.
Yeah.
Try changing the angle. So you all, I always tell women, when you take a photograph, make sure whoever is taking the photograph, whether it's with a cell phone or camera, I don't care, make sure that the angle is always above you versus directly in front of you. No, we don't want mugshot looks. Those aren't cute at all.
Anyone.
I don't care if you're a model. It just doesn't look cute, someone taking a picture directly
you know,
in your face. So
I actually found out, I'm going to let you go because I'm rambling, but I also found out that if you extend your neck out a little when you're taking a picture, as though you're saying, what? I mean, and then...
Right. Seriously, but it works. I always tell people I have the chubbiest face, and I tell people when you see my face, if you see it depending on the angle, you'll want a piece of pie, because that's my face is like round and just you'll want a slice of apple pie or sweet potato pie. It's kind of pie. So you'll never see me without a picture where my shoulder is not dropped and my neck extended. So I will drop a shoulder in a minute. I don't care who's taking the picture. It's going to be my son, my 8-year-old. I'm still going to drop a shoulder.
That is so fantastic. Kylie Russell with Big Girl Cosmetics, thank you so much for being our guest today. You have been such a delight.
Thank
I feel like
you.
I was talking to
well,
my girlfriend on the phone and everyone else was listening.
It was just eavesdropping our conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And check out her cosmetic line. The website is very user friendly. You just go online, you click, and you're there. Biggirlcosmetics.com. Stay with us. We're going to be joined by BJ with Hot Wings on the Run. Give us about 30 seconds. We'll be right back. Welcome to the Beauty Files. You were listening on our conversation. I was talking to my girl Kylie, and you are listening on the phone. That's what it sounded like, didn't it? I love that. That was such a great great segment, because it was so close to me, because we're both makeup artists and we both kind of know, you know, the good and the bad and the ugly about doing makeup. BJ is joining us today. She is with Hot Wings on the Run. Welcome, BJ, to the Beauty Files.
Well, hello, Juanita. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You know, BJ, your story and your mission is just phenomenal. When I first met her, at the Metropolitan Cooking Show, and, you know, we started talking, and she had a lot of people that were working with her. And what I loved about the whole experience with meeting BJ was, number one, she was always smiling. She was so sweet. And she had young people that were around her working with her, and she was guiding them and telling them how to do this and how to do that and what you should do. Tell us about your company, and also tell us about the great things you're doing with our young people.
Well, as you said, yes, I have a two-company websites, hotwingsontherun.com, which is my bottled gourmet sauces, and the other, BJ Foods Cuisine, which is my catering company. I have my own line of super spicy exotic gourmet sauces, and some are not spicy, but spicy is my main market. I basically just love making dishes and creating sauces that people really like, and I used to be a vegetarian, so I always include vegans, and my sauces are non-vegan as well.
Oh, so you used to be a vegetarian.
Yes, I used to be a vegetarian, but I had a strange craving for a steak and cheese sub, and that just did it.
Oh, my. So, and then you got a taste of the bacon, and you went back?
That's pretty much the story.
I'm telling you, bacon has ruined everyone's lives. Bacon. Oh my God! But I have to say, BJ, your sauces are amazing. And you know, and when she says they're spicy, yeah, she got some kick to a couple of. I mean, once she said it wasn't spicy, BJ, it really was spicy. I'm just saying, but it was really good on some chicken. Oh.
That means we have to work on you a little bit harder.
Yeah, see, exactly. Now, tell us how you got started, because you've been doing stuff with the Food Network. You know, your sauces have been everywhere.
Well, I got started in 1999 after I was going through a painful divorce, and I've always been told that I needed to be selling this buffalo wing sauce, so I decided that instead of spending so much time being depressed and thinking about what went wrong, I decided to do something more constructive than just thinking all the time. Because, you know, that could be a dangerous thing when you're thinking too much, and all that does is produce more sadness, non-productivity, and premature aging.
Yeah, or other stuff, too, you know, like planting, plotting, and seeing if you can get away with stuff. But go ahead.
And I just didn't want to waste any energy in that respect. You're absolutely right. And so this is why I decided to put these sauces together. My friends who are from all over the world kept saying, you really ought to be selling this buffalo wing sauce. It's just awesome. So I thought, here's my market. You know, here we've got all these folks from all over telling me I should sell the sauce, and maybe I've got something to it. So what I did is I decided I'm going to go and do it. And I said, this sauce is going to be the best buffalo wing sauce out there, and I'm just going to go all the way to the Food Network. And, of course, this is what I was speaking, which I always say, be careful what you speak, good or bad. Speak positive and great things into your life. Don't speak negativity because you're going to get it. You know, speak what you want, what you don't want.
So that's great. I love that mantra. That's great.
Oh, yeah, talk about what you do want, not what you don't want. And I'm telling you, it's been incredible when I started changing the way I think like that and changing and talking to others like that, because they said some miraculous, wonderful things have been happening since they start speaking positive into their lives and not dwelling so much on negative or being surrounded by so much negativity. So once I got that, I decided, well, you know what, I need to reach out and spread this word to others. So I started volunteering. And I was first asked by SBA to be a panelist to tell others about starting a successful business and the obstacles. And then when I was at Strayer University, they asked me to join the entrepreneurship team and become an ambassador to the incoming students who were going into business and those who wanted to start their own business. And then later on, I was nominated for one of DC's working women, WJZ-TV, under Leon Harris and Allison Starling. I was interviewed. And I basically, the working women was a venue for those women who go beyond themselves to help others. And so they found out about my work with assisting farmers and entrepreneurship and working with women of domestic violence and women, the women prison ministry, working with children who are foster kids and mentoring troubled youth. And I just, this is what I want to do, and working with veterans and the homeless. And so a lot of the proceeds go to helping youth and adults start their own business and just reaching out and giving gift cards to those who are homeless and inspiring others. I work now as a mentor with Dr. Kirk Crawley, who is a lawyer who decided to be a teacher at an inner-city Baltimore school, and I go there and I talk to the fifth graders about starting their own business. So the classroom is actually starting a business to raise funds. And last year I was with another school, and they raised money so that they could get their caps and gowns for graduation for the eighth grade. So I really love working with CDCs and these groups to actually, and nutrition. I'm also an herbalist, so I'm very much into holistic medicine. And so I just really like, I appreciate having a venue where I can use the funds to help others. So not only are you getting a great sauce, but you're also actually giving back to the community, because trust me, I do believe in giving back to the community.
So now how did you come up with the sauces? I mean, how did you find time to do all this stuff? Because, you know, you got this great sauce business, and then you're doing all your mentoring and your other work. How do you make time for that, for all that? That's a lot of stuff. I love it, I think you're fabulous.
Well, you know, well, thank you. I think you're pretty fabulous, too. But what I do also now, I have a leadership group, and anyone can join. It's, you just can call or text 571-505-1045. And what I do is have all the folks, even the youth who want to start their own business, we get together, and I fix one, prepare one of my dishes for free, and we all sit around and we network. And the model is no haters allowed, because whatever you're trying to do, you need positive people around. It's always said to be around positive people or people who are doing better or than you, or who are your mentors, and that is how you grow and you become more positive. Don't be around negative people, because they're going to pull you down. And you don't want that. And what I found is that now we're sort of growing like this family, so it's not always me talking or doing. I sit back and watch them mentor each other.
Right,
and so that
right.
cuts out a lot of time, because I'm no longer doing what I used to do, which is a lot of individual work. We're actually a team. And some of the folks in the leadership group are the ones that you witnessed at my venue. So those young people and those who weren't so young, we were all working together, and we just sort of are just there for each other. And someone came by to tell me, you know, you were back and forth, but I want you to know your team, my goodness, they inspired me because they worked so wonderful together. I thought to myself, I want to be a part of that. So I was like, oh, can I get some information about your leadership group? Because I said they're all from the leadership group. So what you do is you get... You sort of mix it all together to answer your question.
Now, do you have like a cookbook, or are you coming out with, I mean, you probably are, knowing you, but do you have a cookbook that you're coming out with that will incorporate your sauces with your cook? And before you answer that, I'm going to give people a listing of what you have. You have BJ's. Tell us what BJ stands, or do you want to? I know what it stands for. Do you not want people to know? Because if not, I don't have to tell them.
No, it's fine. You can tell them. That's my name. That's fine.
Well, I love BJ, so I'm just going to say BJ. BJ's got so many sauces. She has one called Spicy Buffalo Wing. She has one that's a honey barbecue, which is the one that I have, which is really good. She has one that's called Red Hot Sauce, Trini Hot Pepper Sauce. Am I saying that right, Trini?
Yes, just for Trinidad. I have family from Trinidad.
Oh, so that probably is very hot.
Actually, that's not the hottest.
So the hot one, is it the hot one, the wild and crazy hot sauce?
No, it gets hotter than that.
Oh, see, and here comes the heat. Is it, no, that's not it. What, the green jalapeno?
No, that's the milder green hot sauce.
Oh, see, okay, BJ, really. You know,
okay.
You
actually,
Caribbean girls, you all make me sick, because you all can digest all that hot, good stuff and don't even care. And you have the best complexions. I'm sorry.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's so nice of you. You know, it's just... It's just such a pleasure to be able to meet people through the sauces. And as I said, I am with the Food Network, and they picked me up in 2003 because they loved the product, and they said, we also love your attitude. So I'm actually doing some cooking demonstrations now with the Food Network and opening up for some major chefs. I get to hang out with my kids in Laurent with Robert Irvine from Dinner Impossible, Guy Fieri with the blonde spiked hair. Even when I first came on, believe it or not, in 2005, Paula Deen even embraced me. So I was just in awe, you know, of being able, and even now with Terry French, he was there. He was the top chef there, and he's a great friend of mine. And it's just been such a wonderful blessing for myself and my kids. And my kids, they have their own business, and they aspire to dream, but they know already I have to have a 9 to 5:30, but I also need to have a business on the side, because if you're working and then all of a sudden you find yourself not working, the answer is not to sit around and hope and say, when is that phone going to ring? You know, the answer is that, hey, let me think about what I can do. What are my skills? What am I good at? How can I cultivate this to a business that will put some money in the house while I'm waiting to be called for a job? And some I've worked with, they didn't even want the job after they got called for. They were so wrapped up in their business that was doing so well, they didn't go back to work. Right. So, and they're actually happier. You know,
and it's,
so
always, it's always it's to repurpose. It's good to repurpose yourself in times of when things like that happen, is to kind of reevaluate, repurpose, and just kind of think of something else that you could be doing. And you may not even know that you can, but all of a sudden something will pop in your mind and go, wait a minute, I can be doing this and at least make some extra money until, you know, I get something that comes in. And then, bam, that becomes your bread and butter, because and you love it too.
And do you know how many times that's happened in our leadership group? And because the motto is no haters allowed, all that's there is to inspire and help you cultivate those ideas. You know, sometimes yeah. you can be around a group and it's so negative, they can help you, but they choose not to. They're like, I'm not going to help them with this idea. I've got a great idea, but I'm not going to help them. That's why you don't need to be around that. You want to be around an environment that helps you flourish and grow and cultivate those ideas, like what you just said. Exactly.
Right. So do you find that you being a single, I'm taking that you're a single parent because you said that you are divorced. Do you find that it's harder for you to get into doors than it would be if, you know, you were a single male or a divorced male?
To get in the door in the cooking business or the
business? In the cooking business.
Well, I believe that whatever you do, I've seen some female chefs sometimes come and go in this business, and they're it's definitely a male-dominated area, believe it or not, even though I believe most of the cooks in the world are females. But
right.
I believe it's also in how you carry yourself, you know? It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's that they're still watching you. So it's a certain amount of character and integrity and backbone you need to maintain if you want to maintain that respect. Because once you lose the respect in the business, then you've lost. So, you know, when you maintain stability, you become this person that they know to be of good character and have a great product and know how to carry themselves, and they grow to respect you, then that's where your growth happens. And I would imagine it happens more than just in the cooking field. I imagine across the board. But you've got to be strong. You've got to be, you know, tough. You've got to be firm. And when I say tough, I don't mean step on anybody's toes. You do not have to throw people under the bus to succeed. You should care and love and help other people fulfill their dreams, and that's how your dream grows. I truly believe that. But when I say tough, I mean tough on yourself, not others, you know.
Right. The young people that you mentor, or the young people that are part of your organization or your group, how do they become a part of that? Because I'm sure there may be someone that's listening to the show that has a son or daughter, whatever, and they're probably hearing you and saying, you know, I really want to get to know her. I want my child to be a part of her.
Well, let me tell you something now. That would it surprise you to know that those wonderful folks that and kids and youth that I work with, and adults as well, they already have something in common. They're already winners. And you can't look at someone and say, oh, they're not a winner or they are a winner, because winners, you find them, and they'll find you.
Right.
And what you saw with winners, which means that my work was not really that hard to do, because all they wanted was someone who cared enough about their own individual dreams to help them grow. And I'm just not a selfish person. And so, you know, you find winners. And that's the answer I would say, is that if I am talking or sitting with anyone with their child and I have them around this positive environment, they're going to be like, oh, wow, I didn't know my child had all this inside of them, because they're already winners. And if we're not careful, we're going to make our kids think they're not winners, and that's where it falls. It's not because the potential is in this, because you don't see it. Doesn't mean it's not there. Because some of the winners that I work with, youth and adults, they are. They just had been around so many who said, you're not a winner. Whatever you want to create or do, it's a joke. You're a joke. That's impossible. And unfortunately, we hear this more from those who are close to than we do anyone else. You think you would get this kind of thing from strangers, but no, you get it more from those you're close to, unfortunately. And so you tear down the spirit of the person and the child unnecessarily, because working with these fifth graders, my goodness, they're just so on fire. I said, hey, the week before last, I went to talk to them in the fifth graders, and I said, you know, how many of you, and let's come up. I called one of the fifth grade boys, and I said, hey, you come up here. I want you to sell this product to me. And he said to me, oh, he said, would you like to buy this product, miss? It is really a great product. It'll make you pretty, and it'll make you skinny. And I said, what, am I ugly, and am I fat? And he just laughed, and he said, no, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, it'll make you, like, you know, it'll make you, like, have a lot of energy. And I said, how does it make me have a lot of energy? He said, well, it's really good for you. Well, how is it good for you? So I said, you know, he said, well, I said, you know what? Research your product. Never promise your customer something you can't deliver. I said, I know you're a kid, but your product's expensive, so you're going to have to be able to sell more than that cute little face, you know? So they're learning, and the teacher told me, he said, you know what? That's the word going around the classroom, is that when one kid says something to another, they say, hey, look, did you research it before you came to me? Did you research this?
But I think that should be a curriculum or some type of curriculum in today's school, is to teach kids how to be entrepreneurs. And I'm sure that they are, you know, there are some schools that probably have that. I don't have kids, so I don't know. But I think that should be in the curriculum, as far as kids need to learn how to become entrepreneurs as business people or as business minded.
Oh, you know what? You're so right, but it isn't there. Not at all, it isn't there. I prefer that I'm seeing. And you know, the kids want to. They did some statistics, and they said most groups between 18 and 24 years old, they'd rather start their own business, but there's no guidance out there, no one to show them and tell them how to do it.
Which is, you know, which is kind of pathetic, and it's kind of sad. Yeah, it is kind of sad. I'm gonna have to wrap you soon because I have Nessa on. But I wanted to give our audience some more information about your sauces. I mean, I got a couple of questions, and what I'll do is I'll just forward them to you. But you know, one was the question as far as how can they get their child, you know, involved, and you just answered the question. It's like, you know, people have leadership abilities within them. It's just, you know, just projecting them to your child. I mean, you know, don't allow someone else to be their leader. You be their leader. I mean, you know, I say that with no kids.
And I'm always happy. No, you're right, but I'm always happy to help, because some, like on so many other fields, it needs, you know, guidance, and it's almost like sometimes you have to reconnect with your child. You have to reconnect with yourself, you know. So I am happy to assist in that manner, and sometimes a third party just works. I don't care what kind of relationship it is. If you're getting nowhere between A and B, you sometimes have to have a C in there.
I'm getting a question for you, BJ, as far as where can people get your sauce? How can they order your sauce? Can they get it online or at the store? Or
they can get it online, hotwingsontherun.com. And as I said, they're interested in the catering, which is over 15 different ethnic type foods. They can go to bjfoodscuisine.com. They can also call 571-505-1045 for that, or for the leadership group or the mentor or youth entrepreneurship. And I also speak. So if they want to put together some kind of group and would like me to come and speak, I'll be happy to do that. I have my product in a few stores, but mostly they're so sporadic. I would say go to the website. It's better, because I also travel with the Food Network, and I do shows like in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And so I'm kind of all over. So the website's the best way to start.
So hotwingsontherun.com is the best website or best choice. And if you want to find out where BJ is, where she is, where she's showing her products, where you can find and or buy her products, you can do hotwingsontherun.com. And I wanted to ask you another question, but I just ran out of time. I was going to ask you about the catering, but I don't dare, because I have Nessa on the line, and she's going to be with us in a few seconds. But thank you so much, BJ, for being my guest and being such an inspiration.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, they'll go to the website. They can get that answer, too. So thank you so much. I appreciate having you on there. I mean, you letting me come to your show. I so appreciate it. Thank you very much.
It is my pleasure. And coming up on 30 seconds, we're going to have Nessa. She is going to tell us how collard greens are changing the world as we speak, the way we use them, the way we use them. Remember how kale used to be just, you know, kale was the same as collard, and now everyone is using kale and all these different fabulous ingredients and ways to make it. You know, you got kale chips and kale salad, where Nessa Gone Green, she's doing the same with collards. So we're going to talk with her. Give us about 30 seconds. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Beauty Files. You know, I was just reading Nessa's bio, and, you know, it's funny how people start doing one thing, and then they turn their they want to do their passion, and so they start doing their passion. Nessa used to be an architectural designer. And, you know, I just think I love to hear about the lawyer who became the cake baker or the judge who decided that they wanted to make honey. I love stuff like that. So Nessa, and that's not her full name. I don't even want to butcher your name, Nessa, but you can tell me what it is. I'm reading Inessa Lee McLean.
Oh, that's very close. It's Inessa Lee McLean, yes.
Oh, well, that's a beautiful name too, but I love Nessa.
Thank
Nessa,
you.
Nessa is sexy. Welcome to the Beauty Files, Nessa. You know, I am thrilled to have you on here, because when I went to the farmer's market and you were there and you had your different dishes, and they were all made from collard greens. So we have collard greens that they have collard green pesto. She has collard green chili paste. She has collard mm-hmm. green chutney. She has collard greens pico de gallo or gallo.
Pico de gallo, yes.
Mm-hmm. Pico de gallo, right. Pico de gallo, the traditional pico de gallo. And all of them are made with collard greens. How did you figure that out?
Raw collard greens. Well, we don't have enough fun with our collard greens, and I don't think that we eat them or have them incorporated into our daily meals enough. And, you know, I've grown up with them. I love them. I enjoy them. So I wanted to sit down and figure out how to have more fun with my collard greens and how to make them, you know, more part of my daily ritual, my daily life.
Right. And so why collard greens? Why did you think collard greens? Why not broccoli? Why not wax beans?
Well, I think collard greens are really kind of a cultural, I guess, vegetable, especially for me, I guess, growing up in America. And mm-hmm. growing up, I'm from Florida, Plant City, Florida. So my grandmother has cooked collard greens my entire life. I have, you know, grown up in the kitchen at her side, watching the entire ritual of preparing collard greens
yeah.
for the family for a wonderful Sunday dinner or even for great holidays for family. So it's
right.
a part of something that I, you know, that I grew up and that I love and that I enjoy. I just enjoy the entire ritual of it. It's like sushi. Sushi, making sushi is kind of a, you know, a ritualistic kind of process. And like you said before, and I'm an architect, so I love the process of how things are made.
Yeah.
And why things are made. So,
And you know, that's funny that you mentioned the whole traditional thing and watching your grandmother, you know, prepare. And I too did that. You know, my grandmother, she would wash and you know, cut and separate and do all the stuff with the collard green, and then she threw that fat pork in there. I mean, mm-hmm. It was good, but but I love the fact that you're using something that we loved and cherished when we were growing up, and you've made it into something. Well, it's healthy until you add fat meat or whatever they call it. I don't know what they're calling it now, but whatever the good stuff. But once you you know, if you don't take that out of it, you've made it into a more healthier, but more of a chic kind of thing. I mean, you got something in here called a collard green bruschetta.
Yeah, I love bruschetta, traditional
bruschetta.
It's wonderful. I mean, it has fresh basil, fresh oregano, and, you know, we do tend to cook our collard greens, you know, sometimes overcook our collard greens, but they really do have a distinct taste. And, you know, I started experimenting with a raw collard green. How do I enhance that flavor? You know, how would I incorporate a raw vegetable into some of the things that I eat in order for me just to eat a little healthier and to have fun with something that I'm so familiar with?
And you did say raw. So and people,
yeah.
I want to let you know it is raw, but it's the best.
Yeah,
it's so good.
All of the collard greens are raw in each of these dishes. So we get to, you know, benefit from that full nutritional value that we kind of, you know, we don't necessarily talk about all the time when we're preparing it in our homes, but it's superfood. It has wonderful quality, and, you know, it has tons of vitamin K, vitamin A, and vitamin C, and these are things that we need, and we should definitely try to incorporate more of those vitamins into our dishes.
And we never think of even, I mean, you know, until I'm sure now, but we never even think of having raw collards or raw kale and for it to be good. And it's really, really good now. I mean, especially when you incorporate it with other things. And I'm thinking that even do you add vinegar or something in any of your dishes?
I use all fresh fruit and vegetables. For instance, when I make the pico, I'm using fresh lemon lime juice. When I'm making cheddar, I'm using fresh lemon. So I'm using sea salt, fresh lemons, fresh limes. I'm using all fresh, you know, basil, fresh oregano. I'm using fresh chilies. So everything is raw. Everything is fresh. And that's kind of the reflection I want to come from these products, is that we can take something that is typical and definitely, you know, two typical things would be a classic pico de gallo or a classic salsa and collard greens, which we're also familiar with, and think about these things together and think about them new and in a fresh way.
And, Nessa, tell us about your cookbook, The World's Gone Collard Greens.
Yeah, a few years ago, as I started to experiment more, I wrote a cookbook with all the recipes involve collard greens on some level. I have some really great things in there. I have, for instance, what we would call a ceviche, a shrimp ceviche.
Yeah.
Would incorporate raw collard greens into kind of the process of creating a shrimp ceviche, which is really nice with lime juice, with lemon, and fresh salt. I also have what I call, you know, we do quiches all the time.
Right.
And I love to take collard greens and infuse them into quiches all kinds of ways, with and without meat. It's wonderful. I also have what I call a sweetbread, which is really nice. It's really similar to zucchini bread, but collard greens definitely have their own distinct taste when you start utilizing it.
Right.
So I use that in my sweetbread. I use the applesauce, you know, a little baking powder. There's no milk in it. You know, it's really nice. So you should definitely get out. You can purchase the book online at Amazon, Books and Millions, all of those locations. Book is available for purchase. And it's a wonderful present for someone for the holidays. And I think it's a really nice book.
And also, you say so. And I love the fact when you say ceviche. And a lot of people, if you don't know what ceviche is, it's a process where you use lemon or lime juice and use that process to cook the food. So when mm-hmm. you said that you use it in your collards, I mean, even though some people may say, "Oh, I don't want a child raw collard," you're basically getting it's going to be cooked, you know, in the process of the acidic juices.
Yes, and the juices do its curing process.
But you're still getting all that goodness. I mean, I like the fact that you're getting all those vitamins. Nothing is getting cooked away because you're getting all those vitamins without you cooking them down into what we normally have. I mean, I think it's a fantastic idea. GoneGreens.com is our website. You were about to say something. I'm sorry.
I guess I am definitely not negating the fact that cooking collard greens in a traditional way is still quite wonderful. Mm-hmm. I've started experimenting with shortbreads in my collard greens.
They're
wonderful ways to have a great, you know, wonderful ways to cook collard greens. And, you know, we all have to take those things in moderation. So I love the tradition of cooking collard greens, the traditional way of cooking them down and adding some wonderful meat to them. But mm-hmm. we also should make sure that we kind of take it to the next level and make sure that we have some fun, healthy and interesting ways to use our collard greens.
You know, and I love that you said that, Nessa, because if you think about it, there are other things that we thought that we shouldn't cook another way, and then we find that we like them. For instance, sweet potato pie. I love sweet potato fries now. Sweet potato fries are so good that I can't get enough of them. But we would never have thought that we could make fries with sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
it's real popular right now.
Exactly. It's very popular now. The other question I want to ask you, Nessa, how can someone get your product? I know I got your product at a farmer's market. She had them all lined up, all the different samples. Oh, it was so good. But how can people find you? And there's an event that you're going to be this weekend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This weekend we'll be at Shortcake Bakery. It's at 4700 Rhode Island Avenue in Blaineburg, Maryland. It's a great little bakery. I love that place. And my product is available there Tuesday through Saturday for purchase. And tomorrow we'll be doing kind of a holiday sampling of my products. And some products will be available for purchase tomorrow as well.
And that's in Washington. That's in Maryland. So
yes, right.
Those people who, if you can't get to Maryland, because we have an audience all over the place, can they go mm-hmm. on your website and they can get your products as well on the website too?
Well, the product is not available for shipping on
okay.
the website at this point.
Okay.
But if you're in the Maryland, D.C. area, you can contact me via email on my website. There is a contact page. You can also give me a call at 240-290-1900 and give me a call. And if I have products, I would definitely get it to you.
And then also they can see on your website, they can see the products that you do have. So when they call you, they can tell you, you know, I saw this. This is what I like, and you know how much, and all that good stuff.
And on my website as well, there's a calendar that actually tracks my location of which farmers market I will be at, and which locations you can purchase from. Shortcake Bakery is listed on that calendar, and next week, and not this weekend, but the following weekend, I'll be at the Chevrolet Market once again, Farmers Market, and that Sunday I'll be at the National Harbor. So look at my calendar on the website, and it definitely gives my location.
Well, I will definitely be at the Chevrolet Market next weekend, since I know you're there. But I was going to go anyway. But, yeah, that's good to know. I didn't know you were going to be there also. And then also, before I let you go, Nessa, her book, The World's Gone Collard Greens, that can be found on, did you say Amazon?
Amazon, Books a Million. If you go to my website, once again, I have a page on my website that is for my cookbook. It shows different recipes, and it also gives links to Books a Million, Barnes and Nobles, and Amazon to purchase the book.
That's wonderful. Nessa, I use her name Nessa because, like I said, it's sex. Nessa with GoneGreens.com. Thank you so much for being my guest, and thank you for giving us a new way of looking at collard greens and enjoying something that we are very passionate as a culture for years. Thank you so much for changing that for us and making it something even better.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you so much, people, for listening to the show. I had a wonderful hour. Oh, my God, I wish I could extend it longer. Next week, the week after, right before Christmas, we're going to have a show that's geared to finding gifts or giving gifts to the person who has everything, but they don't have this. I mean, you know, we're going to find something for them. We're going to be joined, hopefully, by a guy who does exotic cars. He details exotic cars. And I think that's a wonderful gift to give to a man or a woman. And, you know, so I'm just throwing out there. But that's one of our guests. I'm not going to give all the rest of the guests. But thank you so much for being a part of the show. Hope you enjoyed it. And until then, you take care. Bye-bye.